Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, October 11th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord, the right way, by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. This is the voice of the martyrs. And on page 14, they have an article about religion in Northern Africa. And I say religion. Religion is the devil's ace trump. The current ruler of planet Earth is Satan. And in ruling planet Earth, he has developed religions of all types all over the world. And by using the system of religion, he has enslaved people from all over the world. And this article is about Islam, religion in Northern Africa, and the persecution of Christians there. Algeria, increasing pressure amid ongoing church closures. Since 2017, the Algerian government has closed 30 of the country's 47 Protestant churches. Though Christianity has a long history in North Africa, Christian worship and witness have largely disappeared today as a result of centuries of Muslim occupation. Algeria is now 97% Muslim, and Christian converts from Islam face a variety of suffering in their local communities. They sometimes suffer persecution from both their family members and from the Algerian government. In December 2022, a 54-year-old Christian pastor from a Muslim background was arrested on charges of holding unlicensed worship and worship in a building not designated for non-Muslim worship. And then 1 month later, he was arrested and sentenced to 2 years in prison. Yet amid these efforts to silence the witness for Jesus Christ, Algerian Christians continue to proclaim the gospel boldly, often resulting in tremendous suffering among them. And Algeria has experienced one of the world's largest movements of Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The more the persecution of the Christians there, the greater the Muslims are coming and placing their faith in Jesus Christ. A frontline worker asked for prayer that Algerian believers whose churches have been closed will be able to continue gathering for worship. Oftentimes this is in house churches, and reaching their neighbors with the gospel of Jesus Christ despite all the risks and suffering. Well, this is the reality. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. Religion is the devil's ace trump. And he has developed all kinds of religions around the world to enslave the people on planet Earth. But the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to go forth all throughout the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, we're at the end of the chapter. We might even finish chapter 4 tonight. Wahoo! 2 Corinthians 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. For all this suffering for blessing that the Apostle Paul has described in verses 7 to 14 is for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving, gratitude to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart. But even though our outer man, our human body, is decaying, being destroyed, falling apart, yet our inner man, our heart, our soul, keeps on being renewed day by day. Verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, the suffering for blessing that Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus and many of these believers in Corinth have gone through, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. A part of this transforming, this renewing described in verse 16 is suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul teaches this in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. I'd like you to hold your spot here, but turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, starting at verse 3. And not only this, but also we keep on glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, winner believers, spiritually mature believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, steadfastness, fortitude, courageous endurance. And, verse 4, perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, which is spiritual maturity. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, produces, brings about hope. Hope is absolute confidence. Especially hope 2 and hope 3 of greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings for all eternity. Verse 5, and hope never disappoints because love for God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which is virtue love, love for God has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, and that's the filling of the Spirit, combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, whom the Holy Spirit was given to us. And that is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit to every church age believer. Never occurred any other time in human history, but in the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture, when anyone believes in Christ, at that very moment of faith in Christ, they are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit living in their body, the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power, the divine power to live in newness of life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. So, Romans 5, 3 through 5, a part of this transforming, this renewing process of verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 4:16 is suffering for blessing, Romans 5, 3 through 5. So, based on that passage, for the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, suffering for blessing in time develops, first of all, perseverance, courageous endurance, proven character, which is grace righteousness and spiritual maturity, confidence of God's greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for eternity, and love for God brought to completion in his heart, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. The faithful pastor receives suffering for blessing, which develops great self-discipline and perseverance in his studying and teaching the God-breathed scriptures. And this is for the purpose that his faithful congregation will also attain spiritual maturity, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, develop God's problem-solving devices from the Word of God that will enable them to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and to glorify God to the maximum. Those problem-solving devices that God has for His Word for you, that's the precisely correct procedure for you to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And this is not taught, I'm sure, in any other church because very few pastors are hurdlers. But I grew up as a young man and was in track and field, and I ran hurdles at Washington State University. And I view when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and God is free to give to you a special category of blessing, suffering for blessing, I view that as spiritual hurdling. I always love running hurdles. And as I have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and God has blessed me with suffering for blessing, I get to run hurdles. I'm still running hurdles, spiritual hurdles. And it's fantastic. And God has given me the precisely correct procedure. And He's giving you the precisely correct procedure to run those hurdles, to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And when you do that, you glorify God for a maximum amount of time, not only here on earth, but it will result in glorifying God forever and ever and ever. And what are those problem-solving devices that God has given us? Well, it's perhaps the most important one, rebound. After last night's class, I had a young man come up and he asked me, "Pastor Olson, do you mind if I ask a question?" I said, "You can always ask a question. I might not know the answer, but you can always ask the question." So he said, "Well, there's a passage in Corinthians I don't understand." And he read this passage. I said, "Now, I just want to do one thing. I want you to protect your privacy. Protect your privacy. I know which passage you're talking about." And he said, "Does that mean that if you commit any of these sins, that you are going to wind up in the lake of fire in hell?" I said, "Well, if that was true, everyone in this church would be wind up in hell." So, no, it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about people who have never believed in Christ as their Savior. And if those people that never believe in Christ as their Savior, yes, they will wind up, unfortunately, in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It was actually created by God for Satan and his angels. But any member of the human race that rejects the grace of God, God's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and place their faith in Christ as their Savior. God, the grace gospel, Jesus Christ went to the cross, paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world, for anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ receives the gift of eternal life and the imputed righteousness of God. He's justified by faith. He will live with God forever and ever and ever. And you can never, ever lose your salvation. And I said, "Have you personally believed in Christ as your Savior?" "Yes." "You have eternal security. You have the gift of eternal life. You have God's imputed righteousness. You're going to live with Him forever and ever and ever. You can never lose your salvation." Does that answer your question? Yes. So you see, I taught Bible class, and then after Bible class, I taught another Bible class. That's all right. That's why God gave me this gift, to feed His sheep the grace and truth of the Word of God. The first problem-solving device that God has given us, we call it rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And that is so fantastic, because even though we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, even though we have eternal salvation, we still have a sin nature. And that sin nature still sends temptations up to our soul. And from time to time, you will sin. So what do you do when you sin? God's given us a problem-solving device. Rebound. You acknowledge that sin to God. You're forgiven and cleansed. You're back into fellowship with God. You get up and you move on. So I remember when we were in prayer meeting of one time, this was years ago now, a young, he was new, I'd never seen him before, and we had divided up into groups, and he came to our group and was praying, and when it came around to him, I really love this, I was listening, he was right next to me, he goes, "Father, thank you, sir, for rebound." And that's the first time I ever heard anybody say that. And I thought, I love this. This, everybody ought to have that as their prayer. Thank you for rebound. And he was so honest and just talking to the Lord, the Father, in honesty. And I thought it was absolutely great. And I thought, I'm going, yes, sir, thank you so much for rebound. Rebound, problem-solving device number one. So you can get back into fellowship with God and move on. We all sin. From time to time, we sin. When you sin, you acknowledge your sins to God, you're forgiven and cleansed. How can God do that? Because when Christ went to the cross, He not only paid the penalty for all of the sins you commit when you're an unbeliever, He paid the penalty for all the sins you commit while you're a believer. They were all poured out on Jesus Christ. And He paid for all of them once and for all. All the sins you committed as an unbeliever, all the sins you commit as a believer. And therefore, you can simply, because of the work of Christ on the cross, because He paid the penalty for all those sins, you, as a believer, as an unbeliever, you simply place your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in Him. As a believer, you simply acknowledge your sins to Him. You're forgiven and cleansed and restored to fellowship with God. Problem-solving device number one, rebound. And the result of that, the filling of the Spirit, the power to live in newness of life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. And then third, the faith rest life. We walk by faith and not by sight. The faith rest life. Faith in God and the promises of God and the Word of God. And grace orientation. Grace orientation is a phenomenal problem-solving device. We orient to the grace of God. Doctrinal orientation. We grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Personal sense of destiny. And that is, you realize that God has this phenomenal plan for you forever and ever and ever. We're only here a very short time, and we're going to see that when we get to the last verse of chapter 4. We're just here a short time on planet Earth. But this isn't our home. Our home is heaven. And God has the most phenomenal plan for us forever and ever and ever. That's a personal sense of destiny. Personal love for God the Father. That's a great motivational virtue that motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. The great functional virtue. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And the greatest problem-solving device of all, sharing the happiness of God, plus age. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you now have a self-contained happiness. You share the happiness of God. And we're going to see that this problem-solving device, the Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity had. Jesus Christ in His true humanity grew up to spiritual maturity very quickly. And He had these problem-solving devices, and He had plus age. And when He went to the cross, that plus age in the Lord Jesus Christ's soul carried Him on the cross together with God the Holy Spirit. The combination of God the Holy Spirit and plus H in His soul, He endured the cross. He endured the imputation of the sins of the whole world in Him. And He stayed and accomplished our eternal salvation. Plus H. So these problem-solving devices, this is for the purpose that His faithful congregation will attain spiritual maturity, have developed these fantastic problem-solving devices from the Word of God that will enable them to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum. The results in them receiving their greater grace blessing at the judgment seat of Christ, this is the result of them advancing maturity and glorifying God. Now there's a passage that's very important. It's one of the last, it is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, and the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy when he was in prison. He was awaiting his execution. He was in the Mamertine dungeon. And while he was there, he wrote the epistle of 2 Timothy. Now, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles because they were written to pastors. The Apostle Paul is writing to pastor-teacher Timothy. And so, by interpretation, this passage applies to God's faithful communicators. By application, it applies to all of you. All of you as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But by interpretation, this is looking at the faithful communicators of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 8. Keep on remembering Jesus Christ. And this is encouraging Timothy to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and be occupied with Christ, who was resurrected out from the dead, a descendant of David, according to the norms and standards of my gospel, on account of which gospel I am suffering hardship. Well, he's in prison. He's in the Mamertine dungeon. He's awaiting his execution. I am suffering hardship, suffering for blessing, like a criminal. He's not a criminal. He has been accused of being a criminal, and he will be executed. What is his crime? His crime is he is a Christian. He is a Christian. And he proclaims the grace and truth of the Word of God. And that is his crime, and for that he is in prison, and for that he will be executed. When he finishes 2 Timothy, God's plan for Paul's life is over. He doesn't die of old age. It's just that God's plan for his life is finished. And he went home to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, on account of which gospel, I am suffering hardship, suffering for blessing, like a criminal, even to the point of imprisonment. Yes, he's being imprisoned in the Mamertine dungeon. But the Word of God is not imprisoned. While he's in prison, he is writing 2 Timothy, this fantastic pastoral epistle, the last letter Paul wrote before his death. For this reason, I keep on enduring all things, all categories of suffering for blessing, because of the elect, for the purpose that they, believers, royal family of God, may also attain deliverance when they are in times of suffering for blessing, which deliverance is provided for those who are in Christ Jesus, accompanied by eternal glory, greater grace blessings for all eternity that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. So 2 Timothy 2:8 through 10 is, by interpretation, referring to God's faithful communicators. And in context, the Apostle Paul to pastor-teacher Timothy, to pastor-teacher Titus, to Silvanus, the faithful communicators of the Word of God, they don't quit. They don't run away in times of suffering for blessing. Paul didn't quit. Yes, he's in prison. Yes, he's waiting his execution. He didn't quit. He didn't stop serving the Lord. He is continuing to write this last epistle, 2 Timothy. So the faithful communicator of the Word of God does not quit. He does not run away in times of suffering for blessing, in times of great pressure or adversity or persecution or suffering. Rather, in times of suffering for blessing, he uses God's problem-solving devices and clears these hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. Suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator of the Word of God develops courageous endurance and perseverance. And therefore, he, like the Apostle Paul, keeps on keeping on, keeps on studying and teaching the God-breathed Scriptures, and keeps on feeding the Lord's sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "You know I love you. Then feed my sheep." And the faithful communicator of the Word of God loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he keeps on studying and teaching God's Word. He keeps on feeding the Lord's sheep. He stays in the game. He stays in the game and clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing in the life of the faithful communicator results in his congregation being blessed. The faithful communicator's suffering for blessing intensifies his personal love for God the Father and his occupation with Jesus Christ, and it motivates him to keep on feeding the Lord's sheep. The result of this is that you, the congregation, you are blessed. The pastor-teacher is on the front line of the angelic conflict. You see, the ruler of this world, Satan, he does not want the grace and truth of the Word of God to get into the souls of believers. In the post-canon period of the church age, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is absolutely essential for the spiritual growth of the royal family of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 11. And he gave some as apostles. This was a temporary gift of communication in the pre-canon period of the church age. Absolutely necessary, because at this time, the New Testament had not been written. So we had the gift of apostleship, a temporary spiritual gift for the writing of the New Testament canon. And he gave some as apostles, the temporary spiritual gift of communication, and some as prophets, another temporary gift of communication, and some as evangelists, a permanent gift of communication in the post-canon period of the church age, and in the pre-canon period, and some as, and this is one gift, not pastors and teachers, but one gift, pastor-teacher. Four, and what was the purpose of this gift, these gifts of communication? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the edification of the body of Christ. Edification is your growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, for the edification of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the completed knowledge, epinosis knowledge, completed knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ, to a mature man, spiritual maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14. So that, with the result that we may no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of false doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But, verse 15, Aletheo, speaking the absolute truth, communicating the absolute truth of God's word, in love, virtue love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So if the post-canon period of the church age where we are living, which began around 96 AD, the last book written was Revelation by John on the Isle of Patmos. In the post-canon period of the church age, from 96 AD until the rapture, that spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is absolutely essential for the spiritual growth of the royal family of God, Ephesians 4:11 to 16. If there is no function of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, then there is little or no spiritual growth for the royal family of God. Now Satan, who is the ruler of this world, he puts maximum pressure on God's faithful communicators who have the self-discipline to study and teach God's word. And the result of this is that all of you are blessed. You are being fed the grace and truth of the word of God. So a couple of things. One, the faithful communicator of the word of God will receive suffering for blessing, like the Apostle Paul. The faithful communicator of the Word of God will receive suffering for blessing to accomplish three things. One, to perpetuate his own occupation with Christ and his own personal sense of destiny. To perpetuate his own occupation with Christ and personal sense of destiny. Secondly, to motivate him to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. And that involves self-discipline to study and teach the God-breathed scriptures. So secondly, to motivate him to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for his life, the self-discipline in studying and teaching the God-breathed scriptures. And third, so he can faithfully feed the Lord's sheep that will prepare them for suffering for blessing, that they might also obtain deliverance in times of suffering for blessing. So third, so he can faithfully feed the Lord's sheep that will prepare them for suffering for blessing. Point two, the believer who is faithful to assemble under in a sound Bible teaching church, under a faithful pastor teacher, and learn and believe the Word of God, he will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He will attain spiritual maturity. He will have God's problem-solving devices in his soul, that precisely correct procedure, so that he can clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing in his own life. So point two, the believer who is faithful to assemble in that sound Bible teaching church under that faithful pastor, he and learn and believe the Word of God, he will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, he will develop God's problem-solving devices, he will have the precisely correct procedure so that he can clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing in his life. Three, and this results in the spiritually mature believer receiving the eternal weight of glory, greater grace blessings awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, our suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. And that those greater grace blessings are awarded to the spiritually mature believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Following the rapture, right after the rapture, we have an evaluation of all of us. We'll all be evaluated by Jesus Christ. And for those that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you have these fantastic greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And they will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. So point three, this results in the spiritually mature believer receiving the eternal weight of glory, greater grace blessing that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Four, these greater grace blessings will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever throughout all eternity. These greater grace blessings will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever throughout all eternity. So again, 2 Corinthians 4, 15 to 17 sounds like this. For all this suffering for blessing that Paul documents in verses 7 to 14 is for your benefit. For the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart. But even though our outer man, our human body is decaying and falling apart, yet our inner man, our heart, our soul, keeps on being renewed day by day. Verse 17, in fact, our momentary light affliction, our suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. Well, that brings us to the last verse of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. In the King James, it starts out and says, "While we look not at the things which are seen." Now, this is really cool in the Greek. Mes kapunton hemon ta blepomena. Yeah. It didn't do too much for you? It did a lot for me when I saw this. This is the present active participle of skopeo with the negative me, plus the gender plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus The articular present passive participle of blepo. Now, just to let you know ahead of time, in this verse, verse 18, we have the articular present passive participle used four times in this verse. All right? I'll remind you from time to time. We start out with, in the Greek, something very special. It's called a genitive absolute. We have a genitive absolute. Now, when I saw this, I started doing push-ups right there. We have with this genitive absolute a negative may as well, but let me put it up here so you can at least say that you've seen one. That's in the Greek. That's S-K-O-P-O-U-N-T, long O-N. And then we got H, long E-M, long O-N. Now, I want you to see this. See that? That's the genitive. That's the genitive case. And as soon as I see that, and this is a participle. This is a genitive absolute. So we have skopeo, the verb skopeo, S-K-O-P-E, long O. And skopeo is where we get our English word scope. When you scope out something, for those of you who like to hunt, you understand this word now because you probably had a scope, didn't you? Binocular scope. And you looked and looked and looked and looked, and you couldn't find a buck anywhere, could you? Found everything else. He found does, he found fawns, he found elk, he found antelope, he found cows. He just didn't see a buck. Skopeo, you scope it out. So we have skopeo, to scope, where we get our word scope, and then we have, this is the personal pronoun ego in the genitive plural. So this is in the genitive, the participle is in the genitive. This is called a genitive absolute, and that is very, very important and very emphatic. The genitive absolute is one form of circumstantial participle. It's used in our verse as a circumstantial participle of time, and it is translated either after or when or while. Here it should be translated while. The genitive plural, the personal pronoun ego, serves as the subject of the genitive absolute. You translate it we, and we refers to all believers in spiritual maturity. All spiritually mature believers, all winner believers. And then we have skopeo. S-K-O-P-E, long O. Skopeo. Skopeo means to look out for, to keep one's eyes on something, to concentrate and look and look and look, to scope out. But we have here, with it, this genitive absolute, we have the negative may. M-E, may. So we, winner believers, spiritually mature believers, we do not skopeo at the things. And then we have an articular participle. This is the first one. There's four of them in this verse. An articular participle of another verb, which is a verb for seeing, blepo. We get our English word blip from blepo. The articular participle blepo means to see. It's substantival. It functions as a noun. And you translate it, the things which are seen. Substantival participle, the things which are seen, which is the visible. So, while we do not scope out, keep our eyes on, we're not preoccupied with the things which are seen. This is talking about the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer. Now, the baby believer, the loser believer, believer living in Satan's cosmic system, they do keep their eyes on. They are preoccupied with the things that are seen. But this is talking about the winner believer, the mature believer. While we, spiritually mature believer, winner believer, we do not scopeo. We're not preoccupied with, we do not fix our eyes on the things which are seen. This is very powerful in the Greek. But at the things which are not seen. And this is the conjunction of contrast Allah plus the second articular present passive participle blepo with the negative may. The conjunction of contrast Allah looks like this, A-L-L-A. Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It sets up a contrast between, and we'll put four things here. It sets up a contrast between, one, the things which are seen with the things that are not seen. First, sets up a contrast between the things which are seen with the things that are not seen. Secondly, sets up a contrast between the visible with the invisible. The visible with the invisible. Third, it sets up a contrast between the details of life with God and His eternal plan. Sets up a contrast between the details of life with God and His eternal plan. Fourth, it sets up a contrast with what we are not to be preoccupied with. Contrast between what we are not to be preoccupied with what we are to be occupied with. And this is reality for the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. For the believer who walks in newness of life, who lives the unique spiritual life of the church age, who advances to spiritual maturity, who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, this becomes reality. The articular participle of blepo, the second use of it, is repeated. Once again, it's substantival. It functions as a noun. This time it introduces what we are to be occupied with. And that is the things that are not seen. The invisible. What's that? God. We can't see God. We can't see the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We can't see the Father. We can't see the Son. We can't see the Holy Spirit. But God is real. He is the living and true God. So it includes God. It includes His eternal plan. It includes the judgment seat of Christ, where we will all be evaluated following the rapture. We will all be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And the greater grace blessings that God will give to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. So, this time it introduces what we are to be occupied with the living and true God, with His eternal plan, with the judgment seat of Christ and our evaluation coming up following the rapture, with the fantastic greater grace blessing for all eternity awarded to the winner believer at that time. So the corrected translation, while we do not fix our eyes, we are not scoping out, preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible, but we fix our eyes, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the invisible. One, there is a contrast in our verse between what our physical eyes, what the physical eyes of the winner believer sees, with what the eyes of his heart sees. There is a contrast in our verse between what our physical eyes, the physical eyes of the winner believer sees, with what the eyes of our heart sees. Two, for the winner believer, what the inner man sees with the eyes of his heart far surpasses what his physical eyes see. For the spiritually mature believer, what the inner man sees with the eyes of his heart far surpasses what his physical eyes see. Three, what the inner man and the eyes of the heart, the inner man and the eyes of the heart are far, far more important than one's physical eyes. The inner man and the eyes of the heart are far, far more important than one's physical eyes. Four, the spiritually mature believer, the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, is not preoccupied with momentary light afflictions, suffering for blessing, but with the eternal weight of glory for all eternity. The winner believer is not preoccupied with momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing in time, but with the eternal weight of glory for all eternity that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. Five, this eternal perspective and confidence in things to come sustained the Apostle Paul in the midst of the temporary sufferings that marked his life and his ministry. This eternal perspective, the Apostle Paul had a personal sense of destiny. He was looking forward to being absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. He was looking forward to the rapture. He was looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And he says in 2 Timothy that he knew there was waiting for him the crown of righteousness. Well, not only the crown of righteousness, but the crown of life and the crown of glory. The Apostle Paul has the most phenomenal crowns and rewards that will be given to him at the judgment seat of Christ, and they will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. So this eternal perspective and confidence in things to come sustained the Apostle Paul in the midst of the temporary suffering that marked his ministry. So, corrected translation, while we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible, but we fix our eyes, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the invisible. And I lied to you. I said we're going to finish verse 18. Will you come back next week? We'll finish it next week. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. But guess what? You're here today and gone tomorrow. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. Supposedly we have class tomorrow. You know, when I was younger, I thought I was going to be here a long, long time. Now, I know that I'm here by the grace of God one day at a time. I take one day at a time. My life is Jesus Christ. My life is the Word of God. My life is feeding you God's Word, teaching you the grace and truth of the Word of God so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And I will do that as long as the grace of God gives me one more day. I'll keep doing that. And it was great to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to keep doing this until the Lord says, Pastor Olson, get up here. Yes, sir. And I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to say, no, I want to stay here. It's so much fun down here watching what's going on. I don't see that much fun going on and what's going on in America. I love America too. I love what that flag stands for. Freedom. And you had the freedom to come tonight and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Christians around the world, they don't have that freedom. They don't have that freedom to assemble to worship Jesus Christ. And when they try to do that, they are persecuted, they're put in prison. Why? What's their crime? They're a Christian. So, you came tonight to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that you had freedom for one more day to assemble to do that. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.